Erevin Daf Nunvav. We are towards the top of the Amud on Nunvav Amud Aleph. We're continuing the Gemara's discussion regarding preferred communities, communities that a person should choose versus communities that a person should avoid. Yesterday, the Gemara spoke very harshly against people living in huts and nomadic communities. The Gemara felt that that was a type of community that should not be opted as one that a person should make as his permanent abode. On the other hand, a community that has vegetables, where that's another way of saying cost of living is down, so that's a community that a person should choose. Along those lines, the Gemara now is going to be discussing other favorable characteristics of a community that a person should choose. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ir sheyesh ba malos umarados, any city that has steep steps going up and down, so if I have people or animals living in such a community, they are going to be dying halfway through an average lifespan. In other words, their life is going to be curtailed. The Gemara immediately says, that is unreasonable. It means to say that they're actually going to die at an early age. So actually what it means is that they're going to be aging. The aging process is going to accelerate when you live in a city in which you're going to have to be climbing all these steep steps, both up and down. Amar Huna Berei, the Rabbi Yeshua Hani Mul Yasa, the Bei Biri U the Bei Narash Izkain, the steep roads of Biri and Narash, so they caused premature aging. And so he actually is testifying to the idea that yes, that when you're living in a city with these steep inclines, so it's just not good. It's not good for the aging process. But in terms of actual mortality, it's not going to affect the mortality rate. It's just simply going to affect how a person is going to be aging. Gemara now is going to be going back to the topic of squaring a city. So we learned in yesterday's daf that if you have an irregular shaped city, so then you can square it, and that tchum only begins after the squaring process. The Gemara now is going to be explaining how exactly we're going to be squaring a city. And going back to what we said yesterday, but the Gemara now is going to be speaking about it with more details, and that is that you have to square it with the orientations of the world, meaning to say that you have to be drawing a line that goes due north, a line going due south, and due east and due west. And you have to know exactly which directions are due east, north, west, and south in order to square a city. Tana Rabbana Bala Rav Ah. So when you are squaring the city, Marbe Beribu Olam, you have to use the orientations of the world. No, Saint Tzfon L'Tzafon Olam, Udrom L'Darom Olam, V'Simancha Eglab Tzafon V'Akra B'Darom. And the Gemara says, and a way to help you remember this is by recognizing the constellation. The constellations were, in fact, very popular and very well known back in the day. By us, unfortunately, we're just not so sensitive to the constellations. And so we don't know immediately that the constellation of Egla is up in the north and the constellation of Akrav of Scorpion is in the south. But if you remember that, so the Gemara says that will be an excellent way of helping us remember that we have to make our orientations and directions facing that of the earth. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Braisa continues now, and it's going to give us another method in terms of calculating the directions of the world so that we're able to square in proper orientation. So Rabbi Yossi says, Im eni yodea l'rava b'rivu sh'olam, let's say you do not know how to align it with the orientations of the world, so what do? Marvaz kemin hatkufa. So you base it based on the seasons. Ketzad. Now, before we get to the practicals of how to do this, so let's just get our grounding in terms of what the Gemara here is going to be describing. The Gemara is going to be describing the sun rising and setting in the east, but as we know, it doesn't rise and set in the same point in the east, nor does it set in the same point in the west, but rather it ranges somewhere to the north of the east and to the south of the east when rising, and it sets to the north of the west and to the south of the west when setting. And this is obviously going to be a function of the season that we're in. And we know that when the sun rises in the east, depending on when in the season we are describing. If we are looking at the summertime, so the sun is going to be rising more in the northern hemisphere, more on the northern horizon, let's say it like that. Now, when the sun makes its revolution through the hemisphere, actually what it does is it cuts into the southern hemisphere, meaning that the sun is going to be rising in the northeastern horizon, but then it's going to be going into the southern sky, and then it's going to head back towards the to the northwest horizon in order to set. In the wintertime, all this is going to occur again in terms of its general trajectory. The arc is going to be the same arc. However, it's going to be rising in the southeast, and it's going to be setting in the southwest. So in the summertime, In the wintertime, the sun is constantly going to be in the southern hemisphere, both when rising, setting, and when making the arc around. In the summertime, it's going to be rising and setting in the northern horizon, but when it actually goes over our heads, it's going to be going into the southern hemisphere. Hopefully all that's clear. If you have a picture of all this, so it certainly would be helpful. So what the Gemara now is going to note is that you'll take the most extreme days. Now, when we say the most extreme days, what we're really looking at over here are the solstices. Solstices, the winter solstice, summer solstice. Winter solstice is when winter begins. Summer solstice is when summer begins. Those are the days in which are going to be shortest and longest, respectively. And so now, if we mark off when the sun rises and sets at those moments, so then we're going to have basically a rectangle for us. Once we have such a rectangle, so now we're going to be able to create lines that are in perfect directions with due north, east, south, and west, like we just described. This is all as per the advice of Rabbi Yossi. Now we get to read it inside. Ketzad. Chama Yossi b'yom aruch, v'shikos b'yom aruch, zu p'nei tzafon. When the sun is on its longest day. So that is when it rises and sets in the north, like we just got done describing moments earlier. When it rises and sets in the south, like we just got done describing, that's a winter day. Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei. We are looking here at the equinoxes. There are two equinoxes in the year, spring and fall. So at the equinoxes, Chama be Yosef bechatzim mizrach veshukas bechatzim ma'arav. So at that point in time, it's going to be rising and setting due west, due east. Rising due east, setting due west. At the equinox, like the name indicates, so the sun is going to be in line with the equator. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "In Koheles Holech al Darom v'Savev al Tzafon." It travels towards the south and it circles to the north. So Holech al Darom b'Yom. So what does that mean? So it's in the south during the day. V'Savev al Tzafon b'Laila, and it goes back to the north at night. Basically, what we just got done describing. Now the pasuk goes on to describe Savev Savev Holech haRuach. It goes around in circles. Eilu p'nei Mizrach u'p'nei Ma'arav. It's the face of the east and the face of the west. Sometimes the sun passes over them during the day. And sometimes it goes around them, i.e. it passes them during the night. Now the second half of the statement over here, we're not going to be focusing on for now. It really is more of a astronomical point. It's important, but in terms of our Gemara over here, we're just going to be focusing more on the four points that are created by the solstices. And Rav Yossi says, once you establish these four points created by the solstices, what you're now looking at is a rectangle. And this rectangle is going to be perfectly illustrative of the directions of the earth, north, south, east, and west. This is all as per the advice of Rav Yossi. Okay. Amar Rav Misharsha. Listen, Lani Klal, Rav Misharsha says, I just simply disagree with these rules that were just provided by Rav Yossi. The Tanya has the following brisa: Lo yatsa chama me'olam mikaren mizrach tzfonis, v'shaka b'karen ma'arav tzfonis. V'lo yatsa chama mikaren mizrach tzdromis, v'shaka b'karen ma'arav tzdromis. The brisa over here points out that the sun never rises at the perfect northeast location, meaning that even as we said just moments earlier that the sun rises in the east and a little bit on the northern side in the east. That part is true, but it never goes so far as to the actual point northeast, nor does it set in the actual point of the northwest. And also, the sun in the winter will never be rising in the exact point of southeast, nor will it be setting at this exact point of southwest. So that means to say that although we do create somewhat of a rectangular in what we just got done describing, nevertheless, it's not going to be a perfect reflection of the corners of the world, meaning northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. So this Bryce over here says that this is really not going to be a good way in terms of creating a perfect description of the orientations of the world and the directions as we just got done describing. Okay. While we got into the topic of solstices and equinoxes and the season and the solar year, so the Gemara now is going to be spending a little bit of time discussing it. And so from here until the bottom of the Amud, so the Gemara is going to be reflecting a little bit about this. The Gemara is coming up over here. If you like calendar and if you like a little astronomical discussion, so this part hopefully will interest you. Otherwise, just basically hang on for the next 10 minutes. When describing a year, so as we pointed out, there's a solar year, there's a lunar year. All of our yontifs are established by the lunar year, obviously, but at the same time, however, we're in full recognition of the solar year. In fact, we spend a lot of time coordinating our solar year and our lunar year. That becomes a big part of intercalating. Not for our topic right now, but just in general, that's just a good starting point. It's just basic information. In terms of a solar year, what is a solar year? So it's the amount of time that it takes for the Earth to revolve around the sun, and that is 365 days and 6 hours. Although, to be fair, just a little bit more information, that number is subject to a debate. Now, the number that we actually use, meaning in our calendars, and when I say our, I'm talking about the population, the human population. So we do use calendars, and the calendars do reflect a cycle of a solar year being 365 days, 6 hours. Obviously, when counting year, those 6 hours just simply accumulate so that every fourth year we're going to be adding a day to make up those 6 hours. 6 times 4 is 24, otherwise known as a leap year. Anyway, but our calendars actually reflect this number of 365 and 6 hours. To be fair, 2 points over here. One is that the actual number that it takes, the actual time that it takes for the Earth to revolve around the sun is slightly less than 365 days and 6 hours. And then another point, which is related, is that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings down a machlokas amoraim, exactly how long is a solar year. When we say it's 365 days and 6 hours, so that is the opinion of Shmuel. It happens to be that our Gemara over here is going to be working with that opinion. It also happens to be that the Gemara presents another opinion that a Ravada, who notes that the amount of time that it takes for the Earth to revolve around the sun, meaning a solar year, is slightly less. Actually, he's very specific in terms of the number that he provides. Anyway, for our purposes right now, we are working with Shmuel's number of 365 and 6 hours. So that's the number we are going to be working with. Okay, that's all just point number one. Point number two is that if we take our solar year and we divide it into 4 seasons, so that means that every season is going to be a quarter of 365 and 6. What is a quarter of 365 and 6? So it's going to be 90. It's going to be 91 days, 7.5 hours. Good. So that means that each season is going to be a total of 91 days, 7.5 hours. Now, that means to say that when one season starts at a particular point on the calendar, so the next season is going to be starting 13 weeks later. 13 weeks later, 91 days is perfect. Is a perfect 13 weeks. Then on top of that, it's also going to be another 7.5 hours after that as well. So when looking from season to season, so basically in terms of days of the week, so you're basically going to be the same day. It doesn't have to be the same day, but it would be the same day, just 7.5 hours later in terms of days of the week. If I were to do that now four times and I get to the following year, so it's going to be a total of 1 day, 6 hours later. Why is all this significant? Because when I know when the equinox begins in 1 year, so then I go to the following year and I just simply go and move ahead 1 day and 6 hours, and then I will know when the equinox is going to be in the upcoming year. Okay. That is all a lot of basic information. Just one more point to go over before we continue in the Gemara and just finish up this first Amud of today's daf. And that is, when was the world created? So this happens not to get a lot of good press, but the world was created in Nisan. Now, I know that we are right now in the middle of Yamim Naraim, having just finished Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right now in the middle of Sukkot right now. And perhaps the impression is that the world was created in Tishrei. The truth of the matter is, it's a machlokas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in terms of when the world was created, whether it was created in Tishrei, whether it was created in Nisan. Our Gemara over here is assuming that it was created in Nisan. In fact, Tosfos over there in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the halacha is that the world was created in Nisan. And yes, it is a little bit curious because A lot of the Nusach HaTfila that's on Rosh Hashanah would seem to give us an indication that the world was created in Tishrei. Meaning, it is an opinion, just to be clear. It is an opinion that the world was created in Tishrei, but our Gemara over here is going to be assuming that the world was created in Nisan. Actually, one more point before we continue. I know it's a lot of introduction. One more point, and that is that if the world was created in Nisan, so what day of the week was the sun, moon, and all the celestial bodies put into orbit? So actually, Wednesday. Meaning we know that on Wednesday, Amaisa Bereishis, so all the celestial bodies were put into motion, were set in motion. And so that means to say that the beginning of Wednesday, as far as halacha is concerned, what is the beginning of Wednesday? The beginning of Wednesday is Tuesday night. So Tuesday night, 6 p.m., so that is when the sun, the moon, the stars, everything was set in orbit. With all that stated, so now we're going to hopefully begin to understand, appreciate the Gemara as it gives a quick description of a lot of these astronomical events. Amar Shmuel, continuing now where we left off in the Gemara, Ench Kufas Nisan Nofeles. Now, as far as the equinox is concerned, so Ela Ba'arba Rivei Hayom. So it's only going to be at the quarter points of the day. O B'tchilas Hayom, it's either be at the beginning of the day, O B'tchilas Alayla, the beginning of the night, O B'chatzi Hayom, midday, O B'chatzi Alayla, midnight. So that means like this, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so when did he set the sun, the moon, and all the celestial bodies in its orbit? So that it was 6 p.m., assuming that was the beginning of Wednesday. So 6 p.m. Tuesday night, so that's when everything was set. Now, if we were to go ahead and move 1 year ahead of that, so then the next equinox is going to be when? So as we pointed out, it's going to be 1 day later and 6 hours later. Right, based on the schedule that we just laid out minutes earlier. So it's going to be 1 day later, 6 hours later. So basically, it's going to be, in terms of the actual day itself, within the day itself, it's going to be 6 hours at a later point in time, meaning midnight. The next year, it'll be 6 a.m. The next year, it'll be midday. The year after that, we're back to 6 p.m. Hopefully all that was clear. That is going to be the equinoxes. In terms of following this trajectory where every year we're going to be offset, the equinox is going to be offset by a day and 6 hours. So when exactly are we going to get back to the equinox occurring at Wednesday night? I'm sorry, at Tuesday night, 6 p.m. So it's going to be 28 years following, which means to say now, if you're following, so in every 28 years, according to Shmuel, the sun is going to be in the same position that it was at Maisa Bereishis. Okay, hopefully that sounds familiar because we discussed this back in Brachos, and that has to do with Birkas Hachama. Anyway, we're continuing now in the Gemara. In Tkufas Tamuz Nofelas. Now, as far as the solstice is concerned, the summer solstice, that's what's called Tkufas Tamuz. So Ela Oba Achas Mumechsa Oba Sheva Mumechsa Meima Yom Meima Laila. It's going to occur either 1.5 hours or 7.5 hours into either the day or the night. All we did over here, it's not really that complicated. All we did is that we took, we went from the equinox, the spring equinox, and we moved ahead 91 days, 7.5 hours. So whenever the equinox falls, so basically your summer solstice is going to be offset by 7.5 hours after that. On the clock, it's either going to be 1.5 or 7.5 hours. Basically 7.5 hours after either 6 p.m., or after 6 p.m., 6 a.m., or after midnight, midday. The ain't kufas tishrei nofelas bish ela o b'shal shavos o b'tesha shavos b'ema yom b'ema layla. Now we go to the vernal equinox, the equinox of the fall. And there, sorry, autumnal equinox. And over there, same story. We're just going to move ahead 7.5 hours. And so then it's going to come out to either being either 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Now we're at the winter solstice. So then, so there it's going to be 4.5 or 10.5. Again, all we did is we pushed it ahead another 7.5 hours. And then the distance, the interval that exists between each season is going to be 91 days, 7.5 hours, as we just pointed out. Now what about the tkufos of the planets? So then it's going to be a half an hour. So I'm just going to spend a short amount of time explaining what this means. Again, it's important. It's something that just honestly we have a difficult time relating to. But we're talking about the planetary influences. Now it happens to be that we just got done discussing the planetary influences towards the end of Masechta Shabbos, and we get to discuss it again. Now, in terms of planets, first of all, there are seven planets. Now, when we say seven planets, what does that mean? It means that when you look at the sky at night, you will see millions upon millions of stars. They're all fixed, meaning they're all set in a particular position. They do move, but they all move in unison, meaning that's simply because of the Earth's rotation. But in terms of with being within the sky, so they're in a fixed position. With notable exception to seven moving celestial bodies. So that's going to be the sun, the moon, and the five planets that are visible to the naked eye. So these seven moving bodies, so as far as the tradition is concerned, which the Gemara over here is making reference to, so they have influences. They have influences, and basically what they do is that they rotate their influence every hour on the hour. So, and they operate with a certain schedule. Rashi over here gives us a mnemonic in order to help us remember the order in which they go. It starts with Kochav, Mercury, then it goes to Levana, which is the moon, then Shabtai, Saturn, Tzedek, which is Jupiter, Madim, which is Mars, Chama, which is Sun, Noga, which is Venus. And the acronym is Kelash Semachin. So this is now operating on a seven-hour schedule. And to you and I, in other words, we don't see anything occurring between these hours. It's just simply a tradition that based on this seven-hour schedule, so the transfer of influence goes from one of these celestial bodies to the next. Now, on a seven-hour schedule, so what's going to happen now is that obviously on a seven-hour schedule, if I were to do that three times over, so in 21 hours, we're going to go through three cycles. And then the 22nd hour, we're going to be starting again. Now, it happens to be that the way the week falls out, they're going to basically begin and end on the same point every week. Now, with that stated, now when I go from one tkufa to the next tkufa, so we said it's 91 days, 7.5 hours. So 91 days is 13 weeks perfectly. So basically now we're at the beginning of our next series of seven, in terms of the influences of these seven celestial bodies. And then we go another 7 hours, because again, it's 91 days, 7 hours. So once again, now we're back to the same celestial influence. And then one more half hour. So that's exactly what the Braisa just got done saying. The Braisa says that as far as the tkufas are concerned, when you go from one tkufa to the next, you're only moving in terms of the seven celestial influences, you're moving only in total a half of one of these influences. Hopefully all that made sense. You can go back and play it again if you want to hear it again. Anyway, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Va'amar Shmuel. And now, for the remainder of our Amud Aleph, so a little bit of Farmer's Almanac. But this is all part of the tradition that we have. This is part of our Mesorah. And that is Enlecha Tkufa Nisan Shenafelas Betzedek. As far as the equinox is concerned, that occurs in the spring, if it should fall out in the hour of Jupiter. So basically, we're looking at multiple variables over here. The equinox, which is again a fixed time, we know exactly when it is, and if it were to overlap with the influence of Tzedek, that's the Jupiter's influence. Sheina Mashabersis Ilanos. So then we know that the trees are going to be ruined. Okay. In terms of explanation, I cannot help you in terms of why this is a very bad confluence, but it is. And ve'en lecha tkufa teva shenofels betzedek, and if the winter solstice falls in the hour of Jupiter, she'enim yaveshes hazraim, so it's going to dry out the seeds, and we're going to have a very dry season. Vehu di'isya levana o betzedek. Now this is true, but only if the moon of that month, meaning the molad of that month, would occur during the influence of either the moon or Jupiter. Meaning, we're using moon over here in two different definitions. Meaning, we're using moon in terms of the molad. The molad we announce every month in terms of when the moon is going to making its first appearance. And as far as as far as when the moon rises, or not rises, but when the moon could at least potentially make its first appearance, so it's going to be coming out during a particular one of these seven influences. But specifically during the influence of either moon, meaning the second mention of moon over here is talking about as an influence, or Jupiter. Okay, so when you have all these variables concurring, you have a confluence of these events, so then it speaks to a bad season. Okay, and that is a Masorah passed down, and let's continue. We are on Nunvav Amud Beis, and over here, we're going to do this actually relatively quickly over here. We're going to be looking at a Braisa. We're going to be ending just short thereafter the Braisa. We're going to not make it all the way to the bottom as the Ari Levim. I'm going to reserve that discussion for tomorrow. So we're just going to go over the basic idea of extending a city. This idea that the Gemara now is going to be quoting, a Braisa describing, was intimated in the Mishnah. The Mishnah did not make this point as clearly as we're going to see now in the Braisa. And that is as follows. There really are two extensions that are going to be under discussion. The first extension is going to be, well, let's say, for example, we have a city that's circular in shape, and now we're going to square the city. So that means to say that in the northeast corner, so we're going to get an extension of the border of the city. And that extension is going to go however long Hari Parnas is going to take us. So, for example, and I'm not just choosing a random example, it happens to be that the Bryce is going to be dealing with exactly with this example. So, for example, if let's say the radius of the city was 1,000 of our circular city, so then when I send my hypotenuse into the corner, into the northeast corner, so it's going to go and extend well beyond 1,000 amas, meaning it's going to go 1,400 amas. Now over here, again, just a little bit of geometry. That means to say that when I have a radius of 1,000, and then obviously from the end of the eastern line heading north to the northeast corner, that's going to be another 1,000. So basically what I'm looking at is a triangle of 1,000, 1,000. So what's going to be the hypotenuse of that triangle? So when I have a triangle with a right angle and two equal sides, so the hypotenuse is going to be the side multiplied by the square root of 2, which is another way of round. I'm just rounding it. It's going to be 1.4. So if we're looking at a number of 1,000, so then the hypotenuse is going to be 1,400. Good. So that is going to be one extension. Now, where do we get our next extension? Our next extension is going to be tchum, meaning so now, after having created a border of the city, a squared border of the city, so the next thing we're going to do is that we're going to be looking at the creation of tchum. Now, tchum allows me to go 2,000 amas outside the city. So how are we going to measure those 2,000 amas? So what we're going to do with the tchum is the exact same thing, which is tchum is not going to go on a diagonal out of the corner, but rather tchum is going to go either due east or due north, or actually it's going to go in both directions. So in terms of where do we go with the corners, so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to create now another triangle and another hypotenuse. So now that tchum goes 2,000 amas due east, 2,000 amas due west, so now when I take that and I move it in a square direction to the corner, so the hypotenuse now is going to bring me how far out into the diagonal of that tchum? The answer is going to be 2,800 amas, meaning an additional 800 amas. In total, how much did I gain by squaring the city and by squaring the tchum? So we're going to get 400 for the city, another 800 for the tchum. It's going to gain me a net total of 1,200 amas in addition to what already was given to me by the city and by tchum. So it's going to be another 1,200 amas. Everything I just said, it's all going to be in the Braisa. I first laid it out outside, and now we're going to see it all in the Braisa. I'm going to read it relatively quickly. Tana Rabbanan. We're on the top of Nunvav Amud Beis. Hamar Be'a Esair, squaring the city, Osa Osa Kimin Tavla Merubas. So you make it like a square, V'chozer Mar Be'a Satchumim. And then what you're going to do is you're going to square the Tchum. V'osa Osa Kimin Tavla Merubas, making that also a square. Ukshomo De Lo Yimdod Be'emza Akeren Alpayim Amma. When measuring, you're not going to be measuring the 2,000 amas from the corner, meaning we're not going to shoot out diagonally. And Meshu Mafsis is obvious because you don't gain the diagonal. You don't gain the corner. El Amevi Tavla Murabashi Alpai Mama. El Al Alpai Mama. But what you're going to do is what we described, where for the 2,000 amas of Tchum, we're going to go out due east. We're going to go out due north. El Manechem Bekar Ba'alachsona, which allows me now, in terms of the corner, to get the hypotenuse of that triangle we just created. Nimsa ir mista keres. So now, as far as the city is concerned, the city is going to have a gain, meaning creating a border around the city is going to create a gain. Arba meos ama lekan bar arba meos ama lekan. For every corner, it's going to be an additional 400 amas, like we got done describing before I read the brisa. And into tchumim mistakrim, and also the tchum is going to get an extension. Shmona meos ama lekan, shmona ameos ama lekan. 800 in addition to the 2,000 that's given to me by tchum. Nimso ayir tchumim mistakrim, elof masam lekan, elof masam lekan. Giving me a net total of 1,200 additional amas, in addition to what I would have gotten had I just dealt with the city and how we just dealt with tchum. By squaring, it's able to give me another 1,200. Now, as far as the 800 that's gained with tchum, so that's a constant. It's always going to be 800 because tchum is always 2,000. But the idea that the city we're going to gain 400, well, isn't that going to be a function of how big a city we're talking about? And that's going to be the Gemara's next point. Amar Abaye. Umishkach ala b'masay dahavi atrei ape atrei ape. We're talking about, this particular brisa is talking about a city that's a total diameter of 2,000 amas, which means that the radius is 1,000. And so that means when I'm squaring, so it's going to be the hypotenuse of 1,000, which means it's going to be 1,400 like we got done describing. Meaning, in the brisa didn't give us the amount of the diameter of the city, but we're just working backwards. Meaning, once the brisa told us what the addition was, that it was 400, so we just simply worked backwards, and we said, well, if the addition is 400, what must have been its base amount? And we figured out that it was 1,000 in radius, 2,000 in diameter. Okay, Adkan. We're going to stop over here. I know we're only halfway down in the Amud, but the remaining part of the daf is dedicated to the Ari Levim. The Ari Levim will start tomorrow. It goes into tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to note what seems to be a discrepancy between the Pesukim and the Braisa. The Gemara is going to give three answers, and that's going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Aleph. So we'll start the discussion tomorrow, and that way we can start fresh. In the meantime, however, let's quickly review Daf Nun Vav. We started at the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. We finished off the discussion of cities that are preferable to move to, cities that are less preferable to move to. And the Gemara says that you should avoid a city that has very steep steps going up and down. The Gemara says it really is bad in terms of aging an individual. Then the Gemara gave us a couple of pieces of advice in terms of squaring a city, because we know that when you square a city, so what you have to do is you have to follow the directions of the earth, going due north, due south, due east, due west when you're squaring the city. So how do you do that? So the Gemara basically on the Amud Aleph gave us two methods. One method is by just simply following the constellations. Constellations are excellent ways of determining what points are due north, south, east, and west. Right, the sailors back in the good old days, and I'm sure even to this very day, look towards the constellations in terms of helping guide them in terms of which directions they're headed to. Okay, nowadays, obviously, our system of orientation is much more sophisticated. But anyway, a constellation is one way to do it. Another way to do it is to look at where the sun rises and sets in the most extreme times of the year, meaning the solstices of the year. Okay, this was Rav Yossi's advice, although admittedly, Rav Misharsha was not a big fan of this advice provided by Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Misharsha noted that even in the most extreme days of the year, the sun is not rising or setting in the exact location of northeast, nor northwest, nor is it rising and setting in the most extreme points of the summer of southeast and southwest. Okay, so anyway, but that was another method in terms of how to do it. At the end of the Amud Aleph of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, as long as we discuss the solstices and the equinoxes, so the Gemara used the opportunity to discuss a little bit about the seasons of the solar year and how it coordinates with the seven celestial influences, and how that may influence the seasons in terms of whether it's going to be a good season or an arid season. The various Masoras that the Gemara had and the Gemara presented. And that ended our Amud Aleph. We turned to the Amud Beis. And the Amud Beis, so we saw the Braisa. The Braisa described how not only are we going to be squaring the city, but we're going to be also squaring Tchum as well. And in a city that is a diameter of 2,000 amas, a radius of 1,000 amas, so by squaring the city and by squaring the Tchum, so that's going to give us an addition of a total of 1,200. 400 additional amas for the corners of the city, and 800 additional amas for the corners of the tchum, yielding a extra 1,200 amas by going through this process of squaring the city and squaring the tchum.